If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Welcome to the Flight by Yingling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. I'm your host, Charlie Romeliotis. The Blackhawks close out a four-game road trip with a 3-2 overtime loss to the Winnipeg Jets. Hawks losing in heartbreaking fashion, squandering a lead in the final minute of regulation, and then losing in overtime. Let's go back to Winnipeg and bring in Steve Conroy to help us break down this game. Steve, it felt like the Hawks were so close to finishing the road trip on a positive note, and to let things slip away there late in the third and then losing in overtime, tough way to go out.
I'm sorry, I didn't have my mic on, Charlie. I totally agree. They played a really good road game, and then early in that third period, you know, they score a fantastic goal, just a phenomenal play by Connor Bedard, his second assist on the night, the spinorama pass to Ryan Green. And then I even thought they carried play after that goal. But then around the 10-minute mark, for whatever reason, and maybe it was fatigue, you know, four games and six nights on the road, but they started icing the puck. And it wasn't once, it wasn't twice. It was at least half a dozen times, I'd say, in the last half of that third period. And you start playing with fire when you ice the puck that much. You know, you don't get to change. The other team can if their guys are tired. And if your guys are tired, it gets a little tougher. And what happens? Well, Jonathan Toews wins a draw, and we saw that many, many times when he was with the Chicago Blackhawks, and a set play by, you know, Scott Arneil and the Winnipeg Jets, and Cole Perfetti with a great shot, a perfectly placed shot. And I feel bad for Spencer Knight, because prior to that, he had made, I'd say four or five. You know, you talked about the high danger chances and the lack of high danger chances for both teams after two periods. I hope you're able to bring that up, because I'm going to say Winnipeg had four or five just in that last 10-minute stretch. So, he played his best. I think Spencer Knight did a real good job, but unfortunately, not much he could do on that partially screened shot. And then in the overtime, it's funny. I'm looking up, and Levshinov's wide open, and I'm hoping Ryan Green can get it to him, and unfortunately, he can't. It looks like it got either deflected or he fanned on it and goes off the stick of Sandberg, and he finds Scheifele wide open, and Scheifele with the goal. So it was heartbreaking, because I thought this was a game they were going to win. They were dominant at times, and then something happened about halfway through that third period, and the mindset changed a little bit. Maybe it was the legs, but it should have been a game that they won.
Yeah, I'll get to the stats. The Hawks only gave up one high danger chance at even strength in the first two periods combined. They gave up six high danger chances in the third period alone, and it felt like a lot of those came on the back half of that third.
Yeah. Well, that's the game right there. And it wasn't all because of the icings, but that being said, you play with fire. And I told John during the game, hockey's a game of, read and react. It's a game of mistakes. But faceoffs are one time where you can kind of draw up a play. You know, everyone's stationary, and you can kind of run pick plays. You can win the draw and run some subtle interference. And, with that faceoff they won, they had the extra man out there. So it's a little easier to find the opening. And they found Cole Perfetti, who is, kind of open. He had extra time and extra space. And unfortunately, Vlasic, I think, was kind of screening his own netminder. Not that it was his fault. You know, he's trying to protect the front of the net. But, that's how sometimes the dominoes fall. And they fell that way because they won a draw, and the Blackhawks just, I think the puck just a few too many times.
I know the Hawks are, 1-2-1 on this four-game road trip, but they held the lead in three of the four games, and in three of the four games, they ended up blowing it. The Nashville game on Thursday, the Hawks led 2-1 in the third period. They gave up three unanswered. The Colorado game, they scored first to go up 1-0. They lose 3-1. And then obviously today, the Blackhawks leading 2-1 in the third period, and they let it go. Is that just kind of the learning curve of a young team that's got to learn how to play a full 60 minutes and learn how to close out these games?
Yeah, I think it probably is. It's one of the younger teams in the NHL. And, it's like, well, can't you just tell the guys? And sometimes, no, you can't just tell guys. You've got to experience it, and you got to get that bad taste in your mouth to realize you don't want this to happen again. And, you know, unfortunately, it's happened a few times, and that's a great observation by you. I kind of forgot about that basically in every game they had the lead. So, you know, young teams will do that. And, you know, sometimes it's a mindset. You go from attack mode to protect mode, and protect mode sometimes isn't real good in hockey. There's certain times you try to protect the lead. You know, you don't want to make any mistakes. But, you know, attack mode, sometimes your best defense is offense, and it's playing in the offensive zone, and it's playing on the other side of your red line. You know, when you ice the puck, the play comes back inside your own blue line. So that's where you kind of have to draw a line. It's you know, let's attack. Let's play in the other team zone. If we make a mistake there, we got 150 feet, let's call it, to get back and to, you know, to cover up. You make a mistake in your own zone, chances are somebody's going to be open. So, yeah, I think it'll come with time. It's something you learn. And like I said, sometimes the hard lessons are the one that stick with you. And that might serve this team, if not this year, in years to come.
Last one for you. Obviously, Connor Murphy was traded to the Edmonton Oilers yesterday. Big void on the blue line without him there, both on and off the ice. The leadership that he brought, but also just the important minutes that he ate with the Blackhawks, specifically the penalty kill and just playing those defensive minutes. What did you think of the young D-core, Ethan Delmastro getting called up, and the responsibility of those minutes going to guys like Rinzel and Vlasic and Levshinov? How did you feel like they handled those minutes without Connor Murphy for the first game?
I thought they were all really good. I was shocked by, you know, you gave the minutes from Sam Rinzel after the first and second period. It was amazing, really. I think he was averaging over eight minutes in each of those periods. So I don't know, did he end up with 24 or 25?
Yeah, I think he ended up with 22 and a half about.
Okay. He was good. I thought Ethan Delmastro was really good. He used his size. You know, the Blackhawks defense are big, but they're not real physical. I thought Ethan Delmastro at 6'4", 210, was throwing his weight around, making some real good plays out there. I thought Levshinov was really good. He was a little more physical tonight also. You know, Grizzlick always plays well. He makes a number of, you know, subtle little plays that maybe you don't always notice, but he's just a veteran player. So, yeah, all in all, you know, you take Connor Murphy out, and he certainly would have helped tonight, but that wasn't the reason we lost this hockey game. The D, I thought, stepped up and did what they were supposed to do, and I was really impressed with Ethan Delmastro having traveled today. You know, a little bit of pressure on you because, you know, you've been down in the minors for a while, and I thought he proved himself very well tonight. He certainly looked like he wasn't out of place.
Yeah, and he had no morning skate to kind of get acclimated with his pairing mates.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. You know, and the minutes are going to go to other guys. And we only had that one penalty to kill in the third period when Bedard took that penalty, and they were fantastic. I think, you know, probably Vlasic and Crevier probably stayed out there the most, and I don't have the final numbers in front of me. You might, but I don't know who picked up the second half of that penalty kill. It probably would have been Levshinov, and I think it was
Levshinov and Grizzlick.
Okay, yeah, and that would... That's kind of what Jeff Blashill told us this morning. But the penalty kill was great again. And, you know, they didn't have to kill a lot of penalties, but when they did, and that was kind of an important part. When Bedard takes that penalty, I think we were maybe about halfway through the third period. That was a real important kill because I think maybe they only had one shot. And I'm talking about Winnipeg, maybe had one shot on that power play or one good look. So the penalty kill did their part.
All right, Steve, great stuff. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about on Friday because the NHL trade deadline is at 2 p.m. So the next game that the Blackhawks play, it'll be the post-trade deadline roster. So it'd be interesting to see who stays, who goes, but I'm sure we'll break it all down in the pregame show on Friday.
Hey, Charlie, I love putting you on the spot. Give me a trade that you think might happen. And it doesn't have to include the Blackhawks, but just tell me something that you feel, hey, this could be a good fit and I could see this happening.
You know, I'm honestly going to be watching Robert Thomas from St. Louis. I mean, his name has been in the rumor mill. And boy, for the price tag that he's, I think he signed for four more years at like, his contract is very favorable. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if he gets dealt. I know, like Buffalo, Detroit, Utah might all be into it. I say Robert Thomas is going to be the biggest fish that gets traded before Friday. That's my prediction.
Good. That's a great call. And if it doesn't happen, you owe me a beer.
All right. I was going to say that's now that I put it out in the atmosphere, I don't think it's going to happen. But I'll give you a beverage if
Thomas gets traded. I owe you a beer.
Okay? All right. Perfect. I love it. All right, Steve. Safe travels back to Chicago.
Okay. Thanks, Charlie.
All right, we got some sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room. Connor Bedard and Louis Crevier both spoke to the media. We'll hear what both of them had to say following this 3-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Taves, meanwhile, weaving into the jet zone. Pushed off the puck at the left point by Levshinov. Hawks get it back. Green tried to clear it out. Taken away by the Jets. Here's a shot from Seifele. He scores. When Green tried to clear the puck away, it was taken away by the Jets. And Mark Seifele came off the Jets bench. Took a pass from Dylan Sandberg and fires it past Spencer Knight. The road trip ends with the Jets winning in overtime over the Hawks 3-2.
Back on the Flight by Yingling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Blackhawks close out a four-game road trip coming out of the Olympic break with a 3-2 overtime loss to the Winnipeg Jets. Man, that's a heartbreaking loss by the Blackhawks after they held a 2-1 lead for most of the third period. Give up the game-tying goal in the final minute of regulation and then lose in overtime thanks to a Mark Scheifele overtime winner. So that's going to sting for the Blackhawks as they have the next couple days off before their next game on Friday. We'll see how they are able to respond. Connor Bedard, I thought he was one of the best players on the ice for the Blackhawks, picks up two primary assists in this loss for the Blackhawks, also finished almost 20 minutes of ice time. Let's hear what number 98 had to say after this game.
Tough to kind of let it slip away after what looked like a pretty good performance for most of the game.
Yeah, obviously. So, you got to find a way there.
For you, I mean, it seemed like another strong game. Have you continued to feel good yourself out of the break?
Yeah, not bad. I thought there's things I could do better for sure. Yeah, I thought we created some good chances, but, you know, we could always do more.
I know you wore the A earlier this season, but now that's a little bit more permanent. What's the meaning of that to you?
Yeah, no, it's great. I think, you know, obviously guys like Murph, like Dickie, like Flea that, you know, we've learned from for a couple years now. And, you know, it's nice to, obviously the letter doesn't change anything you do as a person or anything, but obviously nice to be recognized like that. And, a lot of great players aboard, so you know, it's not something that anyone takes for granted.
Connor, I thought on your goaltender, seems like he gave you every chance to win.
Yeah, that's what he does. You know, I don't think there's a goalie in the league that has performed like him this year. You know, every game we've been in, basically, both our goalies have been great, and you know, it's frustrating. That adds some frustration because he's doing so much for us, so we want to help him get those wins, those results.
You feel like the game was going the way you guys wanted for the most part until late?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. You know, we didn't give them too much the first probably 50 minutes. I mean, I think then obviously they're pressing, but we sit back a little bit. I think, you know, when you're defending a lead and you sit back, it's not a good recipe. We want to try to get in their end and cycle it and whatnot. And, you know, I thought we sat back a little bit.
Been a lot of overtime games this year. Are there things you guys have learned about what works and what doesn't in that format?
Yeah, I mean, you look at all, like, it's just little plays. It's man on man, so it's hard to create too much on your own. Turnovers here and there that lead to a chance, lead to a goal, stuff like that. And yeah, we got to find a way to win more of them, but it's just, yeah, little things.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Connor Bedard talking about his team's performance in the 3-2 overtime loss to Winnipeg. You can kind of hear the frustration in his voice of letting things slip away. I thought he was really good in this game. He finished with three shots on goal, but boy, it felt like a lot more. I think all three of them, honestly, maybe came in the second period because I marked down four chances that Connor Bedard had in the second period alone. And so I thought he was really solid. Historically, he's been very good against the Winnipeg Jets. In the 9 games career against Winnipeg this season, he now has 5 goals and 6 assists for 11 points in those 9 games. So averaging more than a point per game against the Winnipeg Jets. And we know last year they were the President's Trophy winners. So they haven't been an easy team to play against, but Connor Bedard is finding some early career success against one of the Blackhawks' divisional foes. How about Louis Crevier, who stepped up with some more minutes now that there is no Connor Murphy? The Hawks are going to be leaning pretty heavily on their decor, where every player on the back end is going to have to up their game responsibly as far as eating the minutes, Louis Crevier being one of those players. Let's hear what Crevier had to say after this 3-2 loss.
Just as we were talking to Connor, like, it was kind of frustrating to let that slip away after a fairly well-played game.
I mean, with like 40 seconds left, it's just, we got to figure out a way to end those games. We get a stop at the a stop or a goal too, like maybe you get a dagger goal. So we gotta figure out a way to win those games, and it's gonna help us a ton.
For you, what was your kind of reaction to seeing Murphy traded yesterday, and kind of the extra role you took on tonight in the wake of that?
It sucks to see Murphy go. I think he's personally for me, he's been like a big brother in a way, because I can look up to him. You know, it's a playing style that resembled mine a little bit. Mm-hmm. So he's the guy who's been here for a long time. So it's definitely weird to not having Murph around. And at the same time, it's an opportunity for a lot of us at D to step up and fill his shoes. So it's
How do you feel like the defense performed as a whole today?
Sorry?
How do you feel like the defensive group did for you guys today?
I mean, I think we played a solid game, but again, we gotta find a way as a D to stop the last plays, or like find a way to win, because at the end of the day, like, I don't know, it's a loss is a loss. So it's I don't know. I think we did perform well. There's some stuff always that has to get better, but overall.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Louis Crevier. I thought defensively the Hawks played really well in the first 2 periods, and then it was the third period where they started to let things go, like scoring chances in the third period. Winnipeg had 15 at even strength. The Hawks only allowed 8 combined in the first 2 periods. But we mentioned it in the pregame show, and obviously just now, with no Connor Murphy, the Hawks D group is now pretty young. Check this out. I believe the Hawks now have the youngest active NHL defenseman roster. The CHSN put up a graphic at 24 years and 31 days is the combined age, or at kind of the average age for the Blackhawks. The oldest defenseman now is Matt Grizzlick at 32. Every other Blackhawks defenseman is 24 years or younger. So it's going to be, there are going to be some growing pains for the Blackhawks, and especially without Connor Murphy. So we'll see what happens there. I imagine there could potentially still be some more moves between now and Friday, but we'll see how the decor shakes out. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including the postgame press conference from Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks fall to the Winnipeg Jets 3-2 in overtime to wrap up a 4-game road trip. And let's get to tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. First game without Connor Murphy, it is Alex Vlasic leading the way in the Ice Time department for Chicago at 25 minutes and 54 seconds of ice time. He was far and away the leader for Chicago. Sam Rinzel was a full 3.5 minutes behind him at 22 minutes and 22 seconds. Louis Crevier was third on the team at 20 minutes and 13 seconds. They were the only three players on the Blackhawks that logged north of 20 minutes of ice time. Sam Renzel, by the way, had an 8 minutes and 22 seconds through one period of play. He also had a shift in the second period that lasted almost 3 minutes long, but fortunately he was able to get away from that shift unscathed. Let's hear what the Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say following this 3-2 overtime loss to Winnipeg.
Like for 50 minutes, it was a really strong performance, and then just set back a little too much, or maybe a little unlucky there at the end.
Yeah, I don't think I'm not a big believer in luck overall. Like I think now that we played really good for lots of the game, I just thought we stopped kind of getting out of our zone clean. So because of that, we were in our end for the last 10. 12 minutes maybe, and it's just a hard way to play. We just didn't get out clean, and when we had it, I just thought we had opportunities to make a little more poised play, and we ended up icing too many pucks. I didn't think we gave up a whole bunch in that stretch, but eventually they found a way, obviously, you know. So disappointing for sure. You got to find a way to win the hockey game.
What do you see from the defensive group without Murphy and guys stepping up into bigger roles?
Yeah, I thought guys played good. You know, I thought the whole D-Core played good. You know, kind of mix and match and partners at times a little bit, but I thought the whole crew played pretty good. I can't imagine we gave up many grade A's in the game. I think the chances ended up 15-13 us, but there would have been maybe five or less grade A's again. So, you know, that's a positive for sure. Again, you know, you just got to find a way to win it.
I feel like they're having a decent number of games that have been tied late or lost late this year. Do you see any pattern in this? Like, do you feel like they've learned things from that, or what do you take away from that?
Well, there's probably always different lessons. We certainly try to learn from every opportunity we can, win or lose. I think we've definitely been in a lot of tight games, which is a good thing in some ways. I think sometimes it's finding that next goal. You know, when you don't score really easy, like if you score a little bit easier, if you find a way to score the third one, and then the game's probably over. And you know, when they happen to get one 5-on-6, it's not as big a deal. But, you know, we just, I don't know that there's any particular pattern. I just think it's about us trying to continue to grow our game.
Bedard wearing the A that Murphy vacated, will that be for the rest of the year?
He'll wear the A the rest of the year. I had given it to him earlier when we had injury issues. I think he's earned it with his commitment to winning hockey. And that's the biggest thing that, I talked to him about today is, he has to continue. You know, he's very, very competitive. He works hard every day. He's got to continue to be committed to winning hockey, and those are the ways that you lead. And so hopefully he can continue to do that.
Thought on your goaltender? Seemed like Spencer gave you every opportunity to win.
Yeah, I mean, I thought both goalies probably played really good, to be honest with you. We probably had the better chances. I thought, Connor Hellebuck kept him in probably in the first part of the game, and then I thought Spencer did a good job kind of locking the door the last period there when we were kind of on our heels. So I thought both are, elite goalies, in my opinion, in the league. I thought they both did a good job.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill recapping a 3-2 overtime loss to Winnipeg. Final note, the Hawks found a way to score a power play goal in this game. That is the fourth straight game the Hawks have scored on the power play. So hopefully they're starting to build momentum in that area. Even though it hasn't looked pretty on every single one, it's nice to see that they're getting results, and hopefully that will filter into the 5-on-5 game for Chicago moving forward. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Hawks fall to the Winnipeg Jets 3-2 in overtime to close out a four-game road trip. Let's do a Blackhawks prospect update now and check in on our next generation, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Let's do another update on Roman Kancerov, second-round pick in 2023 for the Blackhawks. Scored a goal yet again today for his 33rd of the season. Leads the KHL. The next closest player has 29 goals. Every goal scorer in the top 10 in the KHL is at least 28 years of age, except one player who's 24. Roman Kantsarov is 21 years of age, so he's doing some special stuff in the KHL. He's now up to 33 goals and 61 points. In both of those scoring categories, it is a new KHL record for under 22 players. So what a fantastic season he's having. I don't think his KHL season is going to end before the Blackhawks does, so I'd expect him to make his Blackhawks debut next year and not this year. But boy, he's something to get excited about. All right, let's do a quick next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back home at the United Center finally on Friday, 7:30 puck drop. 7 o'clock pregame show. Actually, I should say it's going to be a little bit of a later puck drop because it's going to be the final centennial celebration night for the final chapter of the centennial celebration. And I said finally at the United Center because this is going to be the first home game for Chicago since February 2nd against San Jose, which was more than a month ago. Canucks, 3 wins since Christmas. Since Christmas, they're dead last in the NHL. Hawks got the trade deadline coming up on Friday. It's at 2 p.m., so we'll see what kind of moves are made between now and Friday. I imagine we'll have a lot to talk about, so we will see you then at the UC. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitco. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Sitco. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Tony DeNardis. They were led by our engineer, the captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Meliotis signing off after a 3-2 overtime loss to the Winnipeg Jets. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Friday night from the UC.